Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
It's Mother's Day. Today I thought we'd take a text from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10 through 12, which says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Here we have a wonderful description of a woman who is virtuous. It means she has a godly character, she has a holy lifestyle, and she is a great example not only to her family but to the community. And the fact is that she works hard to make sure that the family's needs are taken care of, and she meets the needs of her husband. That's a godly lifestyle that God blesses and God watches over, God protects, and God uses in this culture. It seems like in this day and age where morals are so lax and our language is so crude and women seem to be talking and acting like men, that a good example of a woman who follows Christ will really stand out and be a light in such a dark time as we live today. And so I'm so thankful for godly ladies who follow the Lord and do His work and do His will. And I know that the Lord will bless you and use you in a mighty way.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Jerry and Connie Robinson, who are representatives of Global Outreach Mission in Western Canada, and they're telling us our story about how the Lord brought them to Christ and how God put missions in there. And Jerry was telling us about his first ministry in Toronto. Jerry, why don't you continue your story?
Yes, I started out teaching these clubs, and it was neat just to see God use me as I just offered what I had to the Lord. These boys and girls would come to these five-day clubs, and we would tell them the gospel and would give the invitation, and boys and girls would stay behind. And I remember one girl I had counseled for salvation, and I told her, you know, after she had prayed the prayer and we showed her verses of assurance, I said, "Why don't you go home and tell your mom and dad what you've done?" And she said, "No, I don't want to do that." And I said, "Why?" And she says, "I want them to see the difference." And that spoke to my heart, you know, if Jesus Christ is in her life, there really is a difference, isn't there? And that step of faith, going out there, getting $10 a week for 10 weeks. When I got to Bible school, I went back with $100. And $100 was what you needed to register to just get in. So I put my $100 down and I said, "Dear Lord, the money's not here. I'm out of here and I'm going to go back and work on road construction." And at the end of the year, I had $76 left in my account. And the Lord had just provided. I had this one there that said ILY. And it was in my box and it had a chunk of money in it. And I opened ILY, whose initials were that? And I love you. And it was from my wife. And she wasn't my wife then, Connie. She had worked for an oil company and she had made money and she had tithed to us. And then other people gave money, you know how they do it, to people that had done work. And it went to my account. And so that was the first step of faith. And I began to trust God.
Oh, praise the Lord. So when did you get married? Did you get married after school or how did that all work out?
We got married. We went together for 3 or 4 years, and I took Connie to my home in Wisconsin from Calgary and to meet my parents and so on, and we went up to a place called Rib Mountain. It was the end of the year. It was that I asked her to marry me, and she said she would. So we were all excited, and we went home to tell my folks, and of course, this is late at night, and they were in bed. And my dad said, "Oh, that's good." And he just rolled over and went back to sleep. And I had already been working for Child Evangelism in Saskatchewan for a year. And then she came and joined me there.
When we started out in Saskatchewan, it was a whole new experience for me. I had been raised in a very settled environment, one home. My dad was the principal at Berean Bible College, and he'd had one job all the time I knew him. We attended one church. Everything was very secure and settled. And then I married Jerry. And suddenly, everything was shifting. And I think that was a big lesson for me to learn that my security needed to be based upon the Lord and not on my nice, comfortable set of circumstances. But the years in Saskatchewan were a real blessing in that God began to show us how he could provide in so many little ways. When we didn't have food, all of a sudden someone would arrive at the door with 10 pounds of shelled peas or 10 pounds of corn cut off the cob. We took a trip one time where our check hadn't arrived and we had to go and visit all of the club locations in Western Saskatchewan. We had $2.51 in our pocket. And we were going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Part of that time, we didn't make arrangements for where we would stay because Saskatchewan people were so hospitable that they just invited you in. Usually we had 2 or 3 invitations of where we could stay by nightfall. And then we had to go to a banquet in Saskatoon. We didn't realize that we would have to pay for the tickets. And as we were standing in the line, the fellow behind us, when we got up to where they paid, he says, "Oh, I'm buying your tickets tonight." And just how God provided step by step. When we came back to our home in Swift Current, we had $10.54. We had 2 chickens, we had a cabbage head and a bunch of canned goods. And it was just in those little ways that we knew God cared and he was providing for all of our needs.
Praise the Lord, what good stories they are. It's been a real delight to have both of you in our studio today, and we'll continue this conversation next week.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you're aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we certainly need the gifts and donations of people that listen to this to continue to support it. We're going through a very difficult time where we need more funding to continue to buy radio time, or we'll need to cancel some stations. This month, we're offering a little booklet that I've prepared about my mother's life. She had Alzheimer's, and at one point I thought she wouldn't have the chance to come to Christ, and God did a tremendous miracle. And it's very encouraging if we have loved ones who have diseases or things that affect their mind in the older life. And so I encourage you to get a copy of it. It's called Never Give Up, and you can get a copy of Never Give Up by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Please write in this month and help us to be able to fund the radio station that you're listening to.
Jesus, Redeemer and Friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today I would like to send special greetings to all mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and mothers-to-be. This day has been named in your honor, and we pray God's best blessings will be upon you today and in all the days ahead. Those of us who've been blessed by having a good and a God-honoring mother can be especially grateful today. The powerful influence of a godly mother's love and prayers can never be measured in this life. Let me dedicate to mothers the words of a poem entitled Mother's Influence. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day, and as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and none could change it evermore. Let us so live that our influence will bring others to the living God. There's a great promise in God's word, and I would like to encourage you with it today. It's found in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let us pray and believe this promise for all of our children. Now let me turn to our topic for today, which is great advice from a godly woman. In John chapter 2, we have the story of Jesus at a marriage. Verse 1 says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Now, Jesus was interested in helping people whenever they needed it. He helped his disciples catch fish on several occasions. He helped hungry people by providing food for over 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. And here he helped at a wedding by providing wine. Let me just digress for a moment to say that Jesus never, at any time in all his life, he did never transgress a law or commandment of God in his word. Scripture tells us that Jesus was without sin. One of the commandments of God's word is found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, which says, "Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and maketh him drunken." So God's woe is pronounced on anyone who offers alcoholic drink to others. So we know that Jesus did not make an alcoholic wine at this marriage. We also know that fresh grape juice was called new wine in the Bible. So the Bible term wine can refer to non-alcoholic grape juice. We also know that in ancient times, the Jews had discovered a way to preserve the fruit of the wine, a vine, without having an alcoholic content. And this is also true today. Paul Tan, in his book, tells of a young couple wanting to go to the mission field, but the wife's health kept them from going. The young man was greatly disappointed, but accepted it, and became interested in a project his father had started, which was making unfermented grape juice for the communion service of the church. The man desired to support missions as much as he could, since he couldn't go, and he began to develop the business, which is now known around the world. His name was Welch, and Welch's grape juice has enabled hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to the work of missions. But now let's turn back to our topic, great advice from a godly woman. The woman, of course, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. As to her godliness, there is no question. She heard God speak to her, revealing his will that she would bear God's son, the Messiah of Israel, being a virgin. She was responsible for the early training of Jesus, and undoubtedly was enthralled by Jesus' words and works. She was one of the few people who had courage enough to stand in sympathy at the cross, and she was among those who rejoiced at his resurrection. At the wedding, Mary, perhaps by intuition, as so many women seem to have, sensed that Jesus would be able to help in a difficult situation, and gave some great advice to the servants. She said in verse 2, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I don't know of any better advice in all the world than that. Whatsoever he, Jesus, saith unto you, do it. This would have been good advice to the married couple, wouldn't it? It would have been good advice to the parents of the bride and the groom, and to all the friends and well-wishers gathered on that occasion. And it's good advice for every one of us today. The Bible records many important things that Jesus said. Let us look at just a few of them. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him should have everlasting life." John chapter 6. So Jesus is saying, "Believe in me." Jesus continually invited men to believe on him. To his disciples, he said in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus is saying, "I came from God. I did the works of God, creating wine, creating food, healing the blind, the deaf, the lame, raising the dead. These things only God can do." So Jesus is saying then that I am God. Believe in me. And friends, believing is crucial, for Jesus said in John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We see then how serious this is. Believing brings eternal life, and not believing leaves one under the wrath of God, and none of us want to experience that. Now, you are either a believer or a non-believer. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, you will come to him and ask for the forgiveness of your sins. If you have not come to him for his salvation, you haven't really believed. Will you take the advice of this godly woman? "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Do it now. Open your heart. Invite the Savior who died for you to come into your life. He will forgive your sins and take you into his great eternal family. Then Jesus not only said, "Believe in me," but in Matthew 4:19 he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now when Jesus said, "Believe in me," that involved a decision, and that can be fulfilled in a moment. But to follow him is a process which involves learning and can take a whole lifetime and perhaps beyond. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So after we believe, we enter into a learning process, which perhaps is unending. We need to learn to listen, and then to hear his voice. And then we need to learn to trust him enough to obey. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, this sounds easy, but in fact, it's very difficult, and it involves many lessons before we can be anxious for nothing and pray with the peace of God about everything. Sometimes we have to even learn them over and over again before it becomes part of our lives. We can look to Moses as an illustration. Moses was born in Egypt. From childhood, he learned that God would one day deliver Israel from Egypt. At the age of 40 years, Moses said, "It's time to start this deliverance." And he killed an Egyptian, you'll recall, who was maltreating a fellow Israelite. Moses did not stop and listen for God's direction, but acted foolishly in his own strength. He went into exile for another 40 years. At the age of 80 years, with the hope of delivering Israel as dead in his breast as the dried up shepherd's crook was in his hand, God appeared to him and said, "It's now time to deliver Israel, and I want you to go and do it." "Where's my sword and my spear and my armor, Lord?" "You won't need any of that." "Where is my army?" "You won't need that. I will be with you." Moses, as you recall, offered every excuse he could think of, but finally knew he had to go. Up to this point, Moses could only see the absolute human impossibility of the situation. No sword, spear, or army, no soldiers or chariots, nothing but a dried-up stick in his hand. And his job? To confront and conquer the mightiest military power in the world. That dried up stick, as you recall, became the rod of God as Moses learned to listen to God and obey him. For the battle was not his, but the Lord's. The outcome? No contest. The living God of heaven easily brought the great nation of Egypt to its knees and revealed that false gods are doomed to fail, and only the true God is worthy of our worship and devotion. Moses did the unthinkable, not only leading Israel victoriously from Egypt, but welding the people into a nation through which Christ, the Savior, would come. What great blessing it was to see Moses as he learned to listen and obey. What mighty things might we do if we could learn those same lessons? Follow the advice, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, Mary, who spoke this, spoke from experience. God asked her to do some pretty difficult things, didn't he? She faced the pain of an unbelieving fiancé in Joseph for a while, then the ridicule of many unbelievers in Israel. Mary probably experienced all of her life the shunning of the elite and the whispers of those given to gossip. But she listened to God's voice and was used of God to bring his only son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to become the Redeemer of all men. We can all thank God that Mary had learned by experience that whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Perhaps today, God will call you to do something for him. Remember, it will always be in according to his written word, and it will bring blessing to you and to others. On this Mother's Day, why not listen to some pretty good advice? Whatsoever he, Jesus, saith unto you, do it. Come, believe, receive Christ as your Savior, then follow him into a life that will honor God, bring peace and blessing to you and to others all around you. Have a blessed Mother's Day.
I'm sure that you enjoyed the message that you just heard, and I trust that you'll apply it to your own life throughout this week. And here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're always concerned that listeners have an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. And of course, the gospel is very clear and very simple, actually. God did all the work, and he gave us a gift. The gift is the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're all sinners, and we need a Savior. The only Savior is the Lord Jesus, and when you ask him to come into your life, you're redeemed by his precious blood. And the Bible teaches that we have a new life in Christ, and you can have that if you receive him and ask him to come in. Don't forget to order your copy of Never Give Up, My Mother's Testimony About Coming to Christ. You can write Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Also, all our broadcasts are on our website at www.missiongo.org. And please remember us in your prayers. May the good Lord continue to bless you throughout this week, and be sure to write in and help us to continue this broadcast on your station.